B'dechilu u'rechimu, we begin learning Seder Noshim in Maseches Yevamos. The pasuk says, Oni roichiv al chamor, Oni ayin nun yud. It's referring to Mashiach. So Oni, they bring down the achronim that Oni is roishi tevis for three difficult Maseches. The ayin is Erevin, the nun is Nida, and the yud is Yevamos. So Oni roichiv al chamor. So they say over, when Klal Yisrael learns these three Maseches well, then the Mashiach will come. So Halavai are learning now the Daf HaShavua, beginning Maseches Yevamos. They should bring the Goel Tzedek B'mehir of Yemenu. So a little background. The opening Mishnah, which is quite long, the opening Mishnah is based upon the Psukim in the end of Parshas Kiseitze, talking about what happens if somebody dies, a married man dies, and he didn't have any children. So there's a mitzvah for the brother of this deceased man to marry the widow. Psukim read, Ki yeshvu achim yachtav. We'll see why it's important that yachtav had to be together. Umeisecha mehem ven ein lo, didn't have a son. Lo zi eishes ameis achutza leish zar, she shouldn't go marry a foreign person. Yevoma yavo aleha v'lakacha lo leisha v'yivma. So the Yavam, her brother-in-law, should come in and live with her. V'hai ha-bechor asher teled yakum al shem achiv hameis v'lo yimache shmo miyisroel. So this child will be born and won't erase his name from the Jewish people. V'im lo yach po tza'ish l'kacha says yivimto. If he doesn't want to marry her, v'az lo yivimto hashara el ha-zakenim v'amra me'ein yavami l'hakim l'achiv shem biyisroel l'ovo yabmi. He's refusing to marry me. V'korolo zikne iro v'dibro elav v'amad v'amar lo chafatzto l'kachis. I don't want to take her as a wife. V'nigsha yevimto elav v'eine hazikenim v'chaltzo na'alo me'al raglo v'yarka b'fona v'onza v'amar kacha ye'asel isha shelo yivne es beis achiv. So she takes off his shoe and she spits. This is like the chalitza ceremony. This is the equivalent of marrying her. It's like giving a get to her, so to speak. V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutz hana. He's called by the one who, in his name is the one whose shoe is removed. So this is the mitzvah of Yibum. Earlier, we have a source of this in the Parshas Vayeshev with Yehuda and Tamar and with Er and Onan. The Ramban writes there about what's going on over here. That this is an idea. V'yabim oso v'hakim zir le'ochiv, right? That he wanted to do the mitzvah of Yibum. So the Ramban here in Bereishis, okay, skipping a little bit. Aval ha'inyin sod godol misodos ha'torah b'toledes ha'odam. This is an amazing concept, one of the secrets about the creation of a human being. V'nikahu le'enei roim, it's obvious those who can see. Asher nosan lehem Hashem einayim liroyis va'aznayim l'shmo, Hashem has given eyes to see and ears to hear. V'hoyu hachachomim hakadmonim kodim atorah yodim ki yesh to'elas gedola b'yibum ha'ach. The Zakenim knew that there was a tremendous benefit to this, a to'elas v'yibum ha'ach, and this is before the Torah was given. V'hu ha'roi lios kodim bo. So he was the one who had like a din kadima, he was the first one to marry the widow. V'achrav ha'korov b'mishpacha. So after him, the brother was unable to or unwilling, then comes the other close relatives in the family. Ki kol she'er ha'korov elav mimishpachto asher hu yoresh nachla yagia mimenu to'elas. For any relative of this dead person from his family, since if he had a din yerusha, he could get that, so there would be a benefit to him if he would marry the widow. V'haya noagin lisa isha eishes hameis ha'ach o ha'av o ha'korov min ha'mishpacha. So the Zakenim would have this, where the brother, the father, someone would marry them off. V'lo yodanu im haya ha'min ha'kadmon lifnei Yehuda. We don't know if this started before Yehuda. Maybe Yehuda was the first one to do it. The Ramban says, Breishis Rabba omru ki Yehuda hischil mitzvas yibum Tchila, that Yehuda was the one who was the first to do this. Ki kasher kibel hasoy me'avosav, he had this sod, this mystical, you know, tradition. Nizdaris lahakim asosi, he was very quick to fulfill this. Ve'kasher bosa haTorah also eishes ketzasa krovim. Later on, the Torah comes and makes certain krovim also. There's a din of an erva, which is what our Mishnah is going to be talking about. So then in that case, you're not allowed to, as we're going to see the 15 cases. There's like 21, but the Mishnah is going to give out 15 cases where there's not, you can't do the mitzvah of Yibum because there's an erva involved. So Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahatir Isra Ashes Ah Mipne Haibum Shemoy be mata this to do in order to the Ibum Rotza Shiadech Shiadoche Mipon of Isra Ashes Achi Haav Habain Lazulosam. He didn't want to, you know, take off all the Isurim of them, right? Because of Ibum. Kiba Ach Hurgal Hadover to Elis Kroiva Velobahem. Kimoshe Hiskarti. Okay, so it was more proper or more benefit happens when the brother does the mitzvah of Yibum. And the Ramban explains one last point. It's cruelty if he doesn't want to do this. The Kormos, that's what's called Beit Cholutz Hana'al, right? It's like a derogatory name that's given to him. So that's by way of a hakdama to the, a little bit of hashkafa behind it. It's a tremendous toelis happens when one does the mitzvah of Yibum. Ramban says that maybe it could have been by other krovim before Matan Torah, but now post Matan Torah we have the mitzvah and the Torah and Kiseitze. It's certainly only on the brother. So the widow of the one who died, she's called the Yavama, right? Any brother of this of her husband who passed away who could do Yibum, he's called the Yavam. And when the situation comes up, it's more called what's called Nefila LeYibum, right? He falls to Yibum. Now there's a bond that connects the Yavama and the Yavam. That's called a Zika. That's a technical term that we did. We'll try to explain things as we go throughout the Masechta. Perhaps one more point to know beforehand is a term called Tsoros. Right? Tsoros means a co-wife, means like a competition. It's when you have two or more women who are married to the same person. So we're going to see now that there's not a mitzvah of Yibum if there's an erva involved, right? There are 21 arayas that are not allowed. That's in Achremos. Now, since there's a chi of kares on them, if they would do a bemezid, so therefore the kedushin isn't even a chal between these them. So out of these 21 different arayas, 15 of them could possibly be married to this person's brother, meaning it's only an erva to him. It wouldn't be an erva to his brother. So if the brother would die without any children, so then it could fall to him. Now we'll see this. The Mishnah is going to explain that these would fall off because of that. I mean, either is a mitzvah of Yibum or there is an erva, but it can't be both. So let's just start with the first of the cases. It's going to be 15. Number one, Chamesh Esrei Noshim Potros Tsarosehen. There are 15 women, because they're an erva on the living brother, the only living brother of the husband who passed away, so that's going to potter their tzara from doing both a chalitza and a yibum. So if you had the brother who passed away was Reuven, so he had more than one wife. On a derais level, a man could have it. We're not talking about the cherem der beinu gershim. So there's one brother, Shimon, and one of the wives of Reuven is an erva. So not only is that wife, Shimon's not going to marry her, all the rest of them are off. They're potter from doing the chalitza and the yibum. That's what it means, that the tsaros are also, exempt from this mitzvah. V'tzoros tzorosehem min ha-chalitza min ha-yibum. They're also going to exempt the co-wives of the co-wives from chalitza and yibum. That means like this. In addition to a case where there's one brother, let's say there was a second brother as well. And to that one, his wife is not an erva, and he performed yibum with her tzora, her co-wife. Right, and since the erva is not forbidden to the second brother, he has to do yibum with one of the two widows. So he chose to do the one with the widow who's a tsara on the erva. Right now, that brother also had another wife. So after doing the yibum, he had two wives: his original wife and then the tsara from the erva. Right now, he also then died childless with two wives, and both of his widows are going to be exempt from chalitza and yibum on the first brother. One, because she was previously the tzara of his erva, and the other one because she's now the tzara of the. That's what it says, tzara tzarasein, the tzaros tzarasein, the co-wife of that co-wife, right? So the case would be like this. We'll try to speak this out. I'll use the names. You have Reuven, right? See, he died, and he had more than one widow, Rachel and Leah, right? And there are two brothers. There's Shimon and Levi. So for one of them, Shimon, that one of the widows, Rachel, was an erva. So Shimon can't do yibum with Rachel or Leah, But Levi, the other brother, neither one of these is an Erevah to him, so he could do Yibum with either one. So let's say Levi decides to Yibum with Leah, and he also has a different wife. He has his own wife, who is Miriam. Levi, this third brother, if he would die without any kids, so now both Leah and Miriam fall back to the other brother, Shimon. He's the only one who's still alive. So what the Mishnah is saying is that not only is Shimon not allowed to Yibum with Leah, because she's the Tzora of his Erva, right? He can't even do it with Miriam, who is the Tzora of the Tzora. That's this line here that says, Tzoros, Tzorosehem. That's the Chiddush that comes out. So therefore, it comes out that both Leah and Miriam are allowed to get remarried without doing the Chalitza. And then the Mishnah says, Ad Soifa Olam. This continues forever. Meaning, if there was a third brother and he did even with the Tzara of the Tzara from the Erva with two wives, and then it would go into three wives, it was four brothers, it would keep going and going for as many times as it could possibly permutate and be a real issue, right? It goes endlessly. That's really what it's saying. Now, the Mishnah goes through all the 15 different cases in how a woman who was married to the brother could be an erva to the living brother. So ve'elahein, these are the 15. The first three are erva because they are descendants of the brother who's still alive. So Bito, it's his own daughter. For example, it's Reuven and Shimon, and he married his niece. Okay, so that's fine. So Reuven married his niece, but when he passes away, now that means the erva is his own daughter. He can't do that. Or Bas Bito would be his daughter's daughter. That would still be an erva on him, right? Or the final one would be Bas Bino, his son's daughter, right? Let's say like this. The brother who passed away, Reuven, had been married to Shimon's daughter, or his daughter's daughter, or his Shimon's son's daughter. So Shimon's not going to do Yivum or Chalitz on any of this because it's either his daughter or his granddaughter. So then, just like he's not going to do it for her, he's not going to do it for the Tzora as well. Fine. The next three out of the 15 are descendants of the brother who's still alive, his wife. Bas Ishto, that'd be his wife's daughter. Bas Beno, his wife's son's daughter, Ubas Bita, and the wife's daughter's daughter. Mishonim asks, what's the difference between case number one, Bito, and what would be number four, Bas Ishto, right? His daughter or his wife's daughter. Isn't that the same thing? So they explain, no, there is an unfortunate case. If let's say there was he was Ma'anes, a woman, he raped her, and that woman's not his wife, but he had a daughter. She got pregnant from that, and then his brother marries the daughter of the Anusa. So therefore, in that case, that woman would be his daughter, but it would not be that number one would not be case number four of Bas Ishto. Okay, right. That was Bas Ishto, Bas Beno, Bas Bito. Okay, the next three lists on the out of 15. This is what 7, 8, and 9. These are going to be going the opposite direction. These are going to be the ancestors of his living brother's wife, Chamoso. It's his. Mother-in-law, his wife's mother, Aim Chamoso, the wife's mother's mother, right? This is his wife's grandmother. The Aim Chamiv, or his wife's father's mother, right? Okay. Now, I think we pointed out this earlier, but it's important when you have Yibum, that only applies from the father's side. Right, they have to be brothers from the father's side. If they're only brothers on the mother's side, then there's no inyan of Yibum. So if you have two people who are half brothers on the father's side, right? I mean, they have different mothers, and then one of them passed away without any kids, so then he has to do the Yibum or the Chalitza on her. So now the next two on the list, will be 10 and 11, are about Erbas from the brother who's alive, the half brother. He can't marry because they relate to him on his mother's side. So Achoso Me'imo, his half-sister from his mother's side, right? Or va'achos imo, or his mother's sister. So in one of these cases, they would not be allowed to marry. Like if a person has two sons, right? Reuven from his first wife, and Shimon from his second wife. And if Reuven marries the sister of his father's second wife, so then Shimon wouldn't be allowed to marry the widow, because his mother's sister is an erva to him. Okay, then we go back to a case that could even involve two brothers, right? Because there's one more erev that involves a sister. The 12th case is va'achos ishto, his wife's sister. That would be a case you have two brothers married two sisters. It could happen, you know. It's not so common, but you know, people have told me they've been to weddings like that. Two brothers married two sisters, and then one of the brothers died. So the living brother can't marry the widow because that's his wife's sister. Case 13, ve'eshes achiv me'imo, the wife of his half-brother from his mother's side. Okay, this case would be as follows. You have a person has a son named Reuven from his first wife, and he then married a woman with a son called Shimon from her first husband. Now this man who has a son from a previous marriage and this woman who has a son from her previous marriage, together they have a third kid called Levi. Okay, so now Reuven and Levi had the same father, and Shimon and Levi have the same mother. Shimon married a woman, passed away, in a case there's no need for Yibum. Reuven, who was not related to Shimon, right? Reuven and Shimon don't share anybody in common, right? So now what Reuven does, Reuven married that widow. He married Shimon's widow. Okay, fine. Then is now follows that she's going to go to Reuven's brother, Levi, for Yibum, but she's an heir to Levi because Reuven and Levi share the same father. So that's why he's going to potter from the Yibum or the Chalitza. Okay, a little bit complicated. We don't have diagrams, but that's how the case goes. Now the last one is interesting. There has to be one of the rules by Yibum is that the brothers had to be on the planet Earth at the same time. That's a requirement. If they were not alive at the same time, then there's no requirement for the Yibum. So the 14th case in the Mishnah is Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayba Olamo, the wife of his brother who he wasn't in the world at the same time. I mean, he died. It'd be a rare case, but the guy died before the other brother was born. So let's say you have a case like Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven passed away, and then Shimon does Yibum with the widow. Then Levi, the brother of Shimon, is born. If Shimon dies, then Levi can't get married to either one of those, an erev on both Shimon's and Reuven's wife. And the last case is Kalaso, his daughter-in-law. That is a case where Reuven and Shimon may be brothers, and then Levi is Shimon's son. Levi marries a girl, and then he dies. So then Reuven marries her, and then he dies. Shimon can't do a Yibum on her because she was his former daughter-in-law. Now we do a recap. Harei elu potros tzarasehim v'tzaras tzarasehim min ha'chlitza min ha'yibum. Right? These women, they potted their tzaras, their co-wives, and their... As we learned, the tzaros tzarasehim, the co-wives, their co-wives, from chlitza and yibum, ad soif ha'olam, forever. Many sets of brothers and tzaras you could possibly have. Now, when the Mishnah says that these 15 women, they don't potter their tzaros from chalitz or yibum if they are not married anymore when he died, right? V'chulan, meaning on all these 15 cases, imimesu, if they died before their husband, o me'anu, they did mi'un. That's a rabbinic way of getting out of a marriage. So let's just speak that out for a second, what mi'un is. On a de'oraisa level, a father can marry off his daughter when she's one day old. Okay, that works de'oraisa. Done, fine, mazel tov, now she's taken care of. If there is no father, he passed away, then on a rabbinic level, a mother or her brothers could marry her off as well. De'rabbanan, they could do that, but she has the right to refuse. If she doesn't want to go through with it, she's allowed to. So that's called miyun, right? So when the mission says like ome anu, they miyun and that annuls the marriage before he dies. Onis garshu, or if there was a divorce before he died, oshininsu islandus. The cases where they're an islandus is a person who has certain physical characteristics that show they could never reproduce. They can't have children, right? And therefore that the marriage is annulled. Right, it's like a mekach tos, tsarosehen mutaros. In all these cases, then the tsaros, the co-wives on the person who passed away, he was still married in the time of death. So then they're permitted to the brother because at the time when his when the husband passed away, he wasn't married to that erva. So then the brother who's still alive could do yibum or chalitza on one of them because they're not an erva to him. Fine. Then the mission goes on, points out on some of these 15 women, there are not so many ways in which they're, you know, the marriage could have ended before he died. You can't say it's about the wife's mother, uveim chamoso, or the wife's mother's mother, her grandmother, uveim chomiv, or his father's, no, it would be his wife's father's mother, his her grandmother as well. Venimsu islandus, that they could be islandus, because if an islandus can't have any children, so it's not shaykh to talk about a mother or a grandmother, right? Oh, Shemei Enu, if they did Miyun and then they got out of the thing, that's also true because she can only do Miyun before she becomes a Bogeris, right? And since she can only have children after she reaches that stage of maturity, so it can't be that they got married, right? When beforehand. Okay. So that continues. Kate said, Poitos Tsarosehin. What's the case when these 15 women potter their tzoros from the chalitza or yibum? Sahaisa bito o achas mikol haraya sa'ele nesuya le'ochiv. If this man's daughter or one of these other women who the erva was married to his brother, v'lo isha acheres, and that brother has another wife, v'meis, he dies, k'shem shevito petura, right? It's just like his daughter is potter from the chalitza the yibum because she's an erev on him. So kach tzarasa patura. So too the her tzar her koif is also going to be potter from that. Even she's not an erva, but since she's married to the same person that who is an erva, then she's also going to be potter from this. Now Mishnah goes through the case where the tzara of the tzara is an erva. She's going to be potter from chalitza or from the yibum. So this would happen in a case where you have two surviving brothers. One of them is a father of the erva. So since he can't do the yibum and the chalitza with his own daughter or her tzara, so then the second one has to do it because she's not an erva on the other brother. Halcha tzaras bitoy v'niseis la'achiv hasheni. Okay, if the daughter's tzara, the koif went and goes married to the second brother, meaning there's more than one surviving brother, and he does yibum with her. V'lo isha acheres, and the second brother has another wife, right? Once the guy does yibum with his brother's widow, so she becomes his regular wife. So now his wife he had before the yibum and his yibum, they become tzaros together, right? Vames, and then he passed away, but he didn't have any children. So now there's two omanos, two of them fall to yibum on the first brother. So Mishnah says, Kishem shitzaras bito petura. Just like the daughter's tzara would be exempt from chalitza or yibum, right? Because she became also to him as an erva when the first brother died, so he couldn't do the yibum with her. Sekach tzaras tzarasa patura. So too the co-wife of the co-wife also becomes pater from this case. And the Mishnah ones go on and goes back and explains what it means ad ha'olam, right? What does that mean? You know, it goes forever and ever. So the lashon ad sof ha'olam, right? That it goes like that. Okay, afilu hein meya. Even if there's 100 brothers, right? Okay, and the tzara of the daughter married one of them, and he had another wife, and he dies without any kids. So then both widows are going to be osur on the daughter's father, right? It goes on like that forever. So the Mishnah talks about a case where the erva wasn't married anymore to the man when he died, so that she's not going to potter her tzara from the yibum of the chalitza. Ketzni meisit tzara sehem mutaros. What's the case when if one of these 15 women died, then the tzara becomes mutter to the brother for yibum? So haisa bito o achas mikol harayas ha'elu nesuya la'achiv. If his daughter or one of the other women who are rayas or erva to him married his brother, v'lo isha acheres, and the brother also had another wife, mesa bito o nizgarsha. If the daughter died or was divorced, right, that ends the marriage. Now in a case where you have Reuven's daughter is married to his brother Shimon, right, and he also had another wife. So Shimon divorced Reuven's daughter, or she died. So living Shimon now only has has one wife, right? Point out the Meforshim that this would be the same thing would if they canceled the marriage through the Miyun, or if she was an idolatress, that would be the same din. So this continues the mission of Acher Kach Meisa Achiv, and then afterwards the brother died, Tsorasa Muteris. Then the daughter's Tsara becomes permitted for Yibum. V'chol ha'yechol alamoin, and anybody who was able to do the Miyun, right, and you know, nullified this marriage before the brother passed away, below me on, and didn't do it, didn't do the miyum. She was still married to him when he died, but says they're not going to potter the tzara. Tzarasa choletzes below misyav emes. So in this case, we say that the tzara, we do chalitza, which is like, you know, giving a get, it's like a divorce, and they don't do the yibum, right? Because on a deraisa level, this marriage never really took place, right? On a deraisa level, the tsar was the only wife, right? So, if we're going on the deraisa level, this brother has to either do chalitza so she can now get married to somebody else. But since the rabbanon held this is a good, they said they shouldn't do yibum because it looks like he's doing something wrong by marrying the erva's tsara. So he does chalitza, and that would allow her to marry other people. Okay. That is the very long Mishnah. It is complicated, but just to go slow and make sure you have the different types of relationships, you know, worked out. There's many diagrams that are available. Unfortunately, they're copyrighted, so I can't put them out there. But the Masifta has beautiful diagrams in the back and the art scroll as well. So let's start the Gemara now. It says like this. It's going to ask a question about the order in the list of the 15 women. Michti, kulhu me'achos isha yofinon. Right, we learned all these halachas about the wife of his wife's sister. So leis de achos isha bereishis. So then, why wasn't that taught first in it, and then we'll work out all the other cases? Why is it this particular order in the Mishnah? V'chitem, if you can tell me, tanu chumrei. Chumrei nokot, he was mentioning them in levels of strictness of chumras, right? Rabbi Shimon Hin is going like according to the shita of Rabbi Shimon to Omer Sreifa Chamur, because he holds that Sreifa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a machlokis as to what is the most stringent of types of death penalties. So Rabbi Shimon here holds that it is what's it called? Sreifa, we hold like the Chachamim. The Rabbanon hold that Skila is more Chomer than Sreifa, right? But again, just within Reb Shimon, that would be the reason why the Tana goes to the cases of the guy's own daughter, and then his Bas Bita, his daughter's daughter, his son's daughter, because these have the Misa of Sreifa, right? And then you go to the other ones. See, Hochi, if that's true, that's still a problem, says the Gemara. Lisni Chamosa. Chamoso Beresha. It should have taught his mother-in-law, right? The Iker Sreifa b'Chamosa Kesiva. That's where it's written in the Torah, right? It's the pasuk in Achrei Mos. Where is it? Perek. I'm sorry. It's Kedoshim, right? The pasuk says V'isha Sher Yikach Es Ishav Es Ima Zima Hi. Man takes a wife and her mother. That's Zima. It's something repulsive. Be'esh Yisrefu. They get burned. Oso ve'eshen velosia zima be'sochachem. Right, so both he and them get burned. Sreifa. That's the misa that there shouldn't be continuing like that. So then, if we're going to be consistent, say that our mission is going like the sheet of Reb Shimon, so then we should have listed that case first, right? Someone says va'od, and another question: boser chamosa lisne kalosa. So after his mother-in-law should have taught his kala, so it means his daughter-in-law. The boser sreifa skila chamura. Because if you go according to this, after sreifa we go down to skila. That's the next most serious type of mises bezdin. Ella, so we have to say differently. Why did it say Bito came into Osya Midrasha Chavivale? So that's a yesod you find in many Masechtas. Because it came from a drasha, it's not necessarily mentioned beferish in the Torah. Therefore, it's chaviv. You know, because when you work on something and you invest in it, that's why he wanted to teach that chiddush of the daughter first, not because it's dealing with what's the more chamer type of misa. Just going to the top now of Gimel Amud Aleph. So kulham midrasha also. All these cases of Yibum come from a drasha. Nehi d'le'inyin Yibum osyo midrasha. Right? Yeah, fine. For Yibum, that's that comes from the drasha. Ve'ikra surayhu behedik sivbahu. The actual iser is written beferish, right? Bito, the ikra sura midrasha. By the daughter, the difference is that this is the daughter of Anusa, the woman who he raped, but he didn't marry her. So that comes from drasha, because that's not actually written out beferish in the Torah. The Omer Rabba, Omer Li Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi, Asya Heina Heina. The how do you learn this out is from the following two psukim. Perik Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Ervas Bas Bincha Ovas Bitcha Lo Segale Ervason. Right, that's talking about the granddaughter. Ki Ervas Heina. Right, there's our keyword Heina. And this psukim later in Yud Zayin. Ervas Isha Bito Lo Segale. As bas benov, as bas bito, lo sikach, the galus ervaso, sha'ara heina zima hi. So you have the heina heina, and then the second step of asya zima zima, says the Gemara. That we made the, from we just saw, that was in Kedoshim, in Parshas Achrimos, this pasuk of zima is written in both places as well. So therefore you learn out, that's the drush, that if he had, if he had relations with his basanusa, so then he's chayv for sreifa. And that was the drasha that wasn't written beferish in the Torah, and because that was the thing that came through a drasha, that's why it's listed first in our Mishnah. Okay, part of the success of the dafa shavua is not just to do it one day a week, but to spend each day of the week on the daf. So Mirz Hashem, we should chazer, and we'll pick it up from here next week's shir on Yevamos Daf Gimel.